PHP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week, once again on the show, but probably telling another different story for us, is Mr. Chris Koski of Golf Tech fame. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Dan. Always good to see you.
Yeah, I think last time you were on here, we might have both been miserable about the weather, but we are enjoying the fine benefits of a non-Arizona summer right now. How's the golf game? Are you getting out?
I'm not getting out as much as I'd like. And then I think everybody in the world says that. I did have the luxury of playing a beautiful course on Friday called Bear Dance down here in Colorado. It's one of the finest. If any of you guys ever get out to Colorado and want to play somewhere cool and unique. But I am getting in the garage and playing, hitting some balls and trying to keep the game tight.
So we definitely need to go into that. I've got some interesting questions, I think, as it relates to on the course versus off the course, which would be, simulator based golf. But before we get into that, I believe you have a new role at Golf Tech now. What has changed for you?
Yeah, so I've been here about 18 months now. And if you remember, I was hired on to lead marketing for the SkyTrack business, which has been awesome as we, Golf Tech acquired SkyTrack in August of 22. And we've really rebuilt that company, built a new warehouse operation, sales team, marketing team, integrated that into Golf Tech. And I'd say about 5 months ago, my role changed to where I'm now leading marketing for both Golf Tech and SkyTrack. So SVP of marketing for Golf Tech Enterprises, which keeps my plate pretty full and kind of building and merging the teams together and just really leveraging the brands and everything that we do as a company. So it's been a lot of fun. It's exciting. There's a lot of newness for me, but I've got a great team and it's been a blast.
So I think the interesting thing here, and maybe it's been more clear for you being that you're a part of it, but as much as it shares the same golf space, the functionality and the presence that you probably feel between the two entities has to be fairly significant. Do you feel like one or the other ever gets lost in the shuffle a little bit when the other starts to shine? Or is it really just two elements, working together in sync and both doing really well?
Yeah. Well, going back to my past, working on the Odyssey brand and under the Callaway umbrella, right. I was used to sometimes getting lost in the shuffle and really kind of fighting and make sure both brands had a seat at the table in every discussion, and kind of see the same thing today. And, Golf Tech has been around for 29 years. It's what keeps the lights on, but the businesses are very different. And because of that, they both need the proper love and attention. So one of them is, more of a brick and mortar retail business delivering technology to golfers and instruction, and one is a product business. The way that we approach them has to be different from an operational standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, and really leveraging the disciplines of people on the team across the entire company in different ways. So, I certainly have to keep the voice strong for SkyTrack so that it doesn't get lost, but there's also a lot of cool collaboration that's happening in integrating the two brands together, specifically in the Golf Tech base. Yeah, it can be a challenge, but everybody is fully bought in from the top down on how we bring these together and how we leverage the brands properly to help make people better golfers.
Does it become a little bit competitive maybe in the head office when there is success on either side? Like you start talking about things like increase in percentage of units sold versus increase in percentage of fittings or lessons. Does it get a little bit competitive when they look at each other and say, hey, we're doing better? No, we're doing better. Is there any of that?
I'd say we saw more of that in the past, but one of the things that we've done across the company is merge the teams. Okay. So as we think about it, we think one team, and previous to January, we had a separate SkyTrack marketing team, separate GolfTech marketing team. It's all been brought together and we kind of have leads for each piece. So I'd say there's still a little friendly competition when we have like a really big day on SkyTrack and the person who's working on that website is like, man, I just crushed this. Or some of the product team perhaps, but for the most part, we are all in sync as one, moving towards this shared goal of again, how we make people better using this device in GolfTechs and where we can go beyond that.
So I think you kind of answered my next question, which was going to be that it's been around 2 years since SkyTrack was acquired. And, you know, obviously you mentioned merging the teams, getting a lot of collaboration going, or at least a lot of isolated work for teams that share the same common goal. But would you say there's the state of the company is where you wanted it to be 2 years ago or when you joined? And can you give people a sense of like where the company is in total?
Yeah. Nothing can ever move fast enough in business if you're ambitious and setting big goals. But at the same time, absolutely. And I was thinking about it last night as I was preparing for this in my mind. One of the reasons that GolfTech purchased SkyTrack was to really own its own software and to own the experience in the bay. So, you know, we've used, you know, many other launch monitors in the past through GolfTech's history. And when we say, hey, we really want this feature so we can teach our students to do this. There was either a really long lead time to get that done or it just didn't happen ever. And so by essentially buying that technology and creating our destiny, for how we want to teach, for how we want students to experience the in-bay experience as well as SkyTrack users at home, it just gives us a lot more flexibility. And so, you know, as we looked at the SkyTrack Plus launch that happened about a year ago, we launched it with the new shot optimizer, which is kind of the 21 windows of data at the bottom of your main screen, and kind of the stoplight features of green, yellow, red for optimal launch, descent angle and spin. That was all something that was requested in the past of other launch monitor companies and just not delivered. So bringing that to the table is great. And then with our most recent software launch, I think course play is what kind of has taken over the messaging and having Pebble Beach to play in your garage. But at the same time, you know, one of the things that probably hasn't gotten as much attention is the improvement ranges. And so, you know, led by the GolfTech, what we call our teaching quality team, and Nick Clearwater, who's the number 17 ranked instructor in the world, is we've got 5 ranges now where you can learn to hit different shots. It's paired with content from Nick. So on one of them, for example, we have a brick wall on the left side of the range. And Nick can give you drills to help hit draws around it. And our coaches use that every single day in bay. And so we've got SkyTracks rolled out to all the GolfTech centers, and we're able to utilize these tools in a way that no other retail company, no other instructional company really can. And that's the fun part. And the speed of which we can do that is amazing. And I know I'm rambling a bit, but I got to hit this one. Is we opened a GolfTech in Manhattan in April. And the week of the opening, someone had the great idea to say, hey, what if we had a custom range that was in Times Square that we could use in bays when we're having these opening parties and media in? And it was like, holy cow, that's a great idea. How do we get it done in 72 hours? Yeah, we went to our dev team, and within 48 hours, we had a range developed that you can hit balls in New York City. And it was really cool. Then they created another one that actually had the Statue of Liberty in the background and Hudson River. And those were showstoppers. As people came in, they just absolutely loved it. And it just gives us so much freedom to create beyond where we're at today.
So it's nice that the options are endless. You don't have to wait for that first call to say, can you do this? Then you need one of your partners to say, yes, we actually will do that. Now you can just reach out to someone and say, this is our idea, figure it out. and then they go and solve that. That's a really interesting component that I hadn't thought too much about. But obviously it has to make life way easier.
Way easier. And, you know, for example, I was in the garage with my 6-year-old yesterday, and he's like, "Dad, can we fire up the SkyTrack?" I'm like, "Sure." I got to move a couple boxes and, you know, move a bike out of the way to get there, but sure. And so we start hitting on a regular range, you know, just kind of the stock driving range. And he knows all the different driving ranges that are on there. He's like, "Dad, I want to hit in the city." And so I pull up the New York City driving range, and it's just more visually appealing for him to look at something that's a little different and unique. And so we were hitting range balls in Times Square yesterday and from a garage in Colorado.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and I keep thinking about, and it's still on my list. You know what, maybe we just go into it now about how golf is evolving from an on-course experience to something so much more than that. And considering how genuinely punishing on-course golf can be, the idea that any skill level can enjoy it from the comfort of their home in the way they want to enjoy it, I think is a really cool thing. I mean, with the idea that downrange could be anything, you might be a big Halo player or, you know, Call of Duty. Suddenly you can start incorporating, you know, some of those mainstay maps into the experience, and you just give like a ridiculous excuse. And maybe you're a big, you know, RPG player. So suddenly you get the World of Warcraft with, you know, orcs walking by when you're hitting 5 irons and, you know, you pop one in the head. It'd be pretty funny. Like, I feel like this kind of thing opens the door to this level of endless potential. Obviously going to the extreme here, I'm willing to admit. Yeah. But, you know, the idea that it can be themed to your world rather than just saying, "Well, I'm going to go play golf now." Well, suddenly golf's a part of your world.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've got over 1,000 coaches on the team of Golf Tech around the world. And, you know, August is our big sale month. And so, you know, they're working with their students to get them renewed on their plans. And, you know, we're getting pretty good discounts this time of year. But as we think about like goaling the coaches, even on that, you know, I threw out the idea the other day. I said, "Well, what about the top centers, the top coaches get to go design their own ranges?" And we push those live for everybody. And that's, you know, Golf Tech Cincinnati or you name the location. They're the ones who get to create the next range. And okay. You know, working with our designers, we can turn those things pretty quickly. And so you can imagine a world where you're playing custom ranges from your coach that are delivered to your house. And it's kind of endless possibilities. It's fun. And we have a long list, as you would imagine.
Yeah. And not just, you know, I keep downplaying it to more of a social experience, even though you're using very practical elements to be represented here. But the instant you said Golf Tech Cincinnati, I'm starting to think about, you know, the hitting into the Bengals stadium, or, you know, you hit a ball and suddenly it lands in a pile of nasty Cincinnati chili and some stuff like that. Like, you know, you could start incorporating voice actors. You see these games where everyone gets excited when someone makes a comment. Well, suddenly you've got, you know, Joe Burrow is a standing conversator, like, "Hey, nice shot, man." And you know, you can just do so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really untapped, albeit ridiculous. I'll make that concession, but at least you've started with something incredibly practical. You talked about the, you know, putting a brick wall here or, you know, forcing you to hit certain shots like that. It's not just an on-course experience to try and navigate around that. It's actual practical application.
So I think it's been almost a year and a half since I've seen you hit driver. And at times I've seen you absolutely stripe it. I've seen you struggle a little bit from time to time too. I mean, you still work me. But one of the stock ranges right now in our software, it's called Accuracy Island. And it is a thin strip that goes down the water. And it is a driver range for pressure to help people to really stop steering the ball and just swing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more of a kind of a mental acuity practice with driver in hand, which is, again, just a really cool drill, but visually very distinct too. You're not penalized if you hit it in the water. So but you can tell when you do it, and yeah. it stings a little bit.
So you talked about my driver's thing. I think what I need SkyTrack to do is the ability to link it up to a dog collar, shock collar, and I'll wear that. And then anytime it can sense my club going too far back, it like zaps me with it. That's what I really need. Like, I appreciate you trying to make it sound like my driver's thing is somewhat functional, but like, that's the extent I need to go. So what I'm really saying here is maybe when we're talking about the golf tech side of things, it's more applicable to what my resolve is for a driver's swing. But
bringing up my 6-year-old, I could just send him out with his Nerf gun to shoot you every time. But
I would appreciate that. Honestly, I'm so sick of it at this point that, well, let's rotate over to the, well, actually I want to keep going on that a little bit because we've had conversations. THP is obviously a hotbed for folks who are finding different ways to play the game. We got our Garage Sim crew, which you're infinitely familiar with at this point. And there's starting to be this sort of hinted argument that maybe golf doesn't necessarily need to be outdoors. Maybe golf as an experience can be defined as just swinging a golf club, and that incorporates that into that indoor play. I'd love to know your perspective because you obviously have a pulse in the community. Do you think there's genuine legs to that, or do you think that's just someone who doesn't like to play golf outside?
No, I do. And, you know, I look at it from a global standpoint, and when you look at, you know, places in Asia, specifically South Korea, where, you know, there are people who have played on tour there that had never really played outdoor golf until they started competing on a tour. You know, there's over 5,000 sim locations in South Korea alone, and just because they're so starved for land, because country clubs are so expensive, a lot of people only experience golf indoors. And, you know, obviously the U.S. is a little bit of a different place. But with sim bars opening up with, you know, 220 golf tech locations in the U.S., there are people who just play indoors. And I think it's a great primer for people to go and play outdoors. Some people think it's less intimidating. Some people just get their start because it's a social event when they do it indoors. But I don't think we've hit that precipice where it's really going to start taking share from outdoor golf. You know, there are some things happening. In January of next year, TGL is going to be launching a sim league with all your favorite pro golfers playing indoors. Which we obviously have a close eye on to see how that's going to succeed. And, you know, in talking to some of the teams and the owners of the teams, you know, they've got a pretty robust plan in place, and kind of, you know, most networks, when they launch a program, there's a lot of testing that goes into it, consumer testing that goes into it. And the feelings so far are incredibly positive. So it's exciting to me. For the business, for the industry, as a player, I'm always one of those people. I just love to be outdoors. I love to be walking. So, I walk the course whenever I can. Even when it's too hot and I probably shouldn't, I'm out walking. And so there's something to be said for both sides of the game to me, but for some people, you know, working on a sim in their garage is all they ever want to do. And I think that's great that we have options.
Yeah. I think it's interesting seeing the mental shift in a lot of that. The idea that, you know, indoor golf is meant to be a primer for the new product you want to buy. When in reality, I think the shift over the last couple of years has not just been from not a teaching, but a improvement standpoint, staying in shape standpoint. But now it's become more of a social experience where, you know, you go buy a couple hours at a bay and all the boys go and you have pizza and beer and pretend like you're actually good by playing, you know, the old course with no wind. Yeah. So, that shift is really fascinating to me. And I'm enjoying it because I think golf in any condition is a wonderful thing. I think And in fact, I want to talk about, I was on the golf course the other day and me and my playing partner, he hit a pretty bad shot and I happened to hit one of the better shots of the day. And we both came to the conclusion in totally different ways that it's insane how challenging golf is and how finite your correct shot has to be. Mm-hmm. So the idea that he gets wildly punished and I'm fractionally better and get, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Well, you know, I think outside that's far more punishing. Whereas you do that in a simulator and it's like, hey, no big deal. I can hit a full swing 58 from the brush I've landed in this simulator and I don't even have to walk through it. And you know, who cares? It's fun. And I think that part of that is my perspective that golf should be enjoyable no matter where you're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, if I hit a bad shot in my garage, I didn't lose a $5 golf ball.
It's true too.
But it's interesting. You talk about like how precise golf is. And my mother-in-law, father-in-law are in town, and my mother-in-law came into the garage last night and she doesn't play golf at all. And just said, hey, can you explain this to me? And I'm like, oh, where do I start? She's like, so does the screen read the golf ball? Like it senses how hard you hit it. And so, you know, I had to start getting deep. I said, well, actually there's, you know, two cameras in here. There's a Doppler radar system and all that kind of triangulates and gives you all these metrics that you see at the bottom of the screen, which I could see her head start spinning. So I instantly take her over to the right side of the screen where you can see path and face angle. And I had happened to have a good shot on the board at the time, and the face angle was, you know, like 0.2 open or something to that extent, and a little inside to outside path. And so, you know, shot ended up in a really good spot. And 6-iron in hand, and I take another one, and I said, oh, that's going to go right as soon as I hit it. And she was shocked that I knew that it was going to go right. So then I take her to the screen and I show her that the face angle was open a degree and a half, not that much. And the ball was, you know, a handful of yards to the right of target. And that blew her mind. Like that level of precision is needed for the game. But also that I could work on it and I could say, yep, I know that that's the problem. I got instant feedback. I know exactly why I did what I did and I can get better because of it. So it was, you know, really fun, not just explaining it to someone who's like a beginner golfer, but someone who has never played golf before in her life.
But the other scary part about that, and maybe this is a good segue into the secondary conversation I wanted to have about Skytrack and Total, is that when you look at a degree and a half, it's a very finite number. You know, it 90 degrees gets you from straight forward to straight open. Mm-hmm. So like that 1.2 degrees is impactful on the result, but squaring it up every time, the idea that you'd hit it perfectly every time, it's almost damning in a way to realize that it's so finite. So I want to follow up on that. Surely the guys who are enjoying Skytrack have found a way to work around their own madness, and you clearly don't mind doing it. What do you say to the guys who think and lose sleep at night over those 1.2 degrees?
I mean, it's just a constant journey to getting better, isn't it? And I mean, you know me, like I'm the guy that if I shot like 100 in the past or 90 or whatever it may be, that's bad. And I've shot both of those scores in the last 2 years, unfortunately. In the past, I would just go get a new set of irons or something like that. You know, coming from the product world, that was always my fix. But there's a really good story. Last summer, our COO is a member at Colorado Golf Club. He took me out there. And I played one of the worst rounds of my life, or at least in the last 20 or 30 years. And I shot 102 and I felt like I could not hit an iron. And I had a match 2 days later as part of our men's club. And I went in and started swinging and noticed that my path, I was just cutting across it. It was just a bad swing. And so I just started working on my path and my face angle, and I shot 79 the next day. And so, you know, that instant feedback is just killer to getting better. And so, you know, you can always look at it, but it always gives you the path to what you can get better at. And I think you see that with all golfers at all levels now, especially up to the tour level. There is not a tour player who doesn't have a launch monitor, who isn't paying attention to their numbers. And then even down through the junior ranks, you know, people know their launch angles, they know their ball speed, they know what they're chasing. And so it gives them targets to hit. As discouraging as it can be to try and get to those places sometimes, it at least puts it right in front of you what you got to do to succeed. And that's my favorite thing about it. Otherwise, you know, you just go out and you hit balls and you may not get any feedback on what's wrong in your swing, and you just try and figure it out or talk to your friend. And I don't know how many times I've seen amateurs giving other amateurs lessons on the driving range. That usually doesn't end up going to a good place.
Right. Yeah. I noticed how you said I buy new irons because the putter guy, of course, blames the irons. Or sorry, I get new irons. It's never the putter. It's from the putter guy, of course. Yeah, obviously. Well, talk to me about Golf Tech. I want to preface this by, Golf Tech's been around for a long time, and I'd be curious to know, do you think there's one thing about the brand that might be the biggest misconception by anyone who's familiar with it or unfamiliar with it?
Yeah. So, you know, Golf Tech has been around for 29 years. It's founded by a couple guys. One guy who's kind of head pro emeritus at Cherry Hill is a guy named Clayton Cole. A guy named Joe Ossel, who is still the current CEO of the company. He was an intern at Cherry Hills when he and Clayton were talking about using a computer to teach golf. So in the basement of Cherry Hills Country Club here in Denver, the idea for Golf Tech came about. And it, one thing that nobody knows, Dan, and I'd love to know if you know this. I didn't as I was going through the interview process. Do you know what TEC stands for in Golf Tech?
I do not, actually.
So I didn't. I thought, you know, it was just a short way of saying technology, and it is. But the T stands for technique, the E stands for equipment, and the C stands for conditioning.
Interesting.
And to start a company 30 years ago with the wherewithal to say those are the three things that you need to play well. And then set out on this mission to do it, where the first, call it 23 years or so, was really just technique. Then Golf Tech got into the equipment side of things, really like 2016, 2017 is when we really first started fitting golf clubs. And then while there is some conversation of conditioning that happens with every coach and kind of stretches that you need to do, is still yet an endeavor to really be taken on by the company. So kind of a little background as I think about, you know, some of the misconceptions of Golf Tech, and I've heard it, it's cookie cutter instruction. They just teach you to do one swing, and that couldn't be further from the truth. What Golf Tech is all about is measuring. And, you know, I always say, if you're not measuring, you're guessing on the swing. And it comes from that conversation we just had about SkyTrack. If you're not looking at numbers, then you're just guessing what's happening. You're relying on somebody's eyes versus something like our OptiMotion camera system that is going to be able to show you every single point of your swing and tell you where you're uniquely challenged. So everybody's got a different body. Not everybody can have the same exact swing. You know, I was watching, you know, the Open on probably Saturday morning, I think, and we were watching Rom swing, and his left wrist at the top of his swing is just like so bent and wild. So we really work with everybody's swing, and they go through, you know, training. We call it Golf Tech University, where we've got coaches here, probably 15 to 20 coaches every single week. And I'll tell you, and I was asking my buddy the other day, I said, is this something that we would ever market? And I'm going to try it out right here, right now. One of the sad parts about GTU and Golf Tech University is coaches will come out here, they go through their training, they go back to the centers, they shadow, they teach, they learn how to go through the process of teaching and fitting. Then they come back out here for an additional round of training, and there's a test that they've got to finish. And if they don't pass that test, unfortunately, They are no longer employed with the company. And it's sad when you see that happen, but it's the level of detail that we get to with all of our coaches to ensure we've got a quality product that we're delivering. And, you know, over those times you generate a personal relationship with those folks. And so it's difficult, but the quality of coaching that comes out of it is phenomenal.
So it's purely fundamentals and the practice of putting people in the right position based on Golf Tech's standards, right? Like the idea here is you have, you said it's not a cookie cutter process, and sure. And I've seen different arguments, different claims. I mean, Golf Tech early on, I remember, you know, comparing to a tour level swing and you know, trying to fit into that mold. There's been a lot of feedback that has existed, but it sounds like your goal, and I think this is one of the more interesting parts of the discussion, is to have a uniform experience regardless of what Golf Tech you step into.
Yeah, uniform experience, but tailored to you.
Yes.
It would be crazy to think that everybody can get to the same position in a golf swing. Like, that cannot happen. My body will not allow me to get as deep in the backswing as Dan Edwards.
It just lucky
absolutely will not happen. And so we use a variety of tour player imagery and swings that might equate more. And those are usually just used as a helper. And I saw one the other day, and I think it was Rory's swing, and the student swayed really bad right at the beginning of the swing. And they were trying to show how Rory really stays stable with his left side and doesn't sway and really just turns the body. And the coach had a funny one-liner. He's like, all right, you can see how you're swaying. You're moving back off this position. We call that dancing with the stars. And the goal was just to try and keep him stable and keep from swaying. So that was how the tour video was used in that case. And really it's used just to drive a point home more than it is to try and copy Rory's swing. There's no way in the world that guy is going to have Rory McIlroy's swing.
Right.
And so,
well, I mean, in reality, you should have sent Stenson and say, hey, it must be nice to hit a three wood the way Stenson does. And if you can't, then maybe don't sway.
Exactly. I saw an article, I think it was last week, and it was a Korean player. And the article said this player worked for years to copy Adam Scott's swing. But he was nowhere near the tour. And I don't remember where I even read the article. I think I saw it on Twitter. I still don't call it X. And the guy had a beautiful swing, you know, from position to position to position. But he's not a tour player. And he doesn't have Adam Scott swing exactly. But, you know, he tried to mimic it. And so, you know, there's only so much the human body can do. And we try and put people in position to maximize what they've got.
That's interesting. You tripped me up on the Adam Scott part. I had a follow up to that, and it's just kind of gone now. Wow. Well, I like the idea of having a level of expectations from a consistency perspective, but not a level of, to your point, a one size fits all. I mean, I've been pretty firm on the swing your swing approach for, you know, going on 20 years now. Now, as you can see, based on the feedback in this show, I'm not particularly proud of some of my positions, but yeah, I mean, it's nice that it's not just one expectation. Let me ask you another question. Maybe this is a hard one for you to answer, but I feel like the level of coaching that has to exist shifts based on the skill level that's in play. So what I mean by that is you get some coaches who basically teach the same solution 100 times in 100 days because it's a very common miss. And my assumption would be the casty slice, right? Like a lot of golfers do that. Mm-hmm. But when you get to a more finite level of skill, does it change the way that you're... So to circle back to Golf Tech, if you see a level of skill that come in the door versus someone who's fairly new, does the coaching style effectively change in quite a significant way between those two?
I'd say it changes between every player. And it's one of the things, you know, we don't have a instruction group here at headquarters that does all the training. We have what we call teaching quality. And it really is just quality assurance making sure the process works. And every player is a little bit different. The way they hear things is a little bit different. And so, you know, the way that you teach has to be a little bit different. And, you know, when someone comes in, and we posted something on social the other day, you know, a guy, I think his best score prior to coming to Golf Tech was a 98, and he shot an 82. And so we have these little like flip scoreboards you see at a high school basketball game. And he sent in pictures with both scores, and we posted it on Instagram, and he jumped into our comments and was like, I broke 80 the other day. And that guy's journey is going to be different, you know, going from that 98 to 94 to 92 to 88. That's going to be one piece of it. But what we do at Golf Tech is we have on-course lessons at most locations. So you can actually go out on course with a coach. He'll teach you game strategy. We've got the app that will deliver, you know, our GPS to you, so you can really start learning and put you in positions that you need help with. And that's one of the things, again, going back to the SkyTrack conversation, is we can work on some of the stuff that you struggle with or some of the things that you want to learn using different driving ranges, different visuals as well. So, yeah, it's really a different experience for everybody. And it's funny, my mom, when I joined here, she signed up for a lesson package. And I asked her, so she signed up for a 12-pack. I said, well, what were you doing? She's like, I had two on-course lessons, and it was phenomenal. So, you know, I'd say a lot of beginners are intimidated with the golf course as a whole and what to do and what the strategy is. And so she was able to go out and learn a little course strategy and where she should be hitting it. And it was just phenomenally helpful for her.
Yeah, I think the easiest swing in golf is the practice swing. The second easiest is the one on the range. And the third is the on-course swing.
Probably about right. I'm trying to think if there's any that we're missing there. But yeah, I think that's about right.
Right. Well, the fourth is when you've got you and JB behind me heckling me, and I'm trying to swing driver like a normal human being, and I just can't do it. So,
yeah, one of the other things that I've heard a lot of, Dan, and it's like, well, you know, it's, you know, on average, our students get 7 shots better. That's the average. And I've seen cases, and we did a TV shoot in January where a guy, he started coming in, he shot 104. I think he got down to like an 82. So obviously huge, huge improvement. But a guy that's, you know, kind of your level of golf, you're like, I can't improve by 7. There's no chance I can improve my 7. But if you can improve your handicap by 2 or 3, you'd be ecstatic. And so there's certain locations, and it's, I'm blanking on it right now, but one of our coaches is working with a guy who just Monday qualified for the John Deere 2 years in a row.
Wow.
And you know, when I get that email in the inbox saying, hey, how can we help feature this? This is really cool. You know, we've got tour level students that are working with their coaches regularly on their game. And I think you'll start seeing more and more and more of that, you know, kind of as we move forward and as indoor golf gets more popular. And you'll see that, you know, happen from, you know, your practice sessions to your training with a coach to even being able just to go in and just play courses and get better or play the course that you're about to play your big tournament in.
So I want to paint the picture here in a sort of ignorant, intentionally ignorant way. And maybe we can dance around the idea a bit, but you know, I think because golfers, or at least my tier of golfers, not the ones who are garage sim crew, respectfully, they're woke at all kinds of woke for golf online, but you know, going to a Golf Tech, at least locally, means you go next door to, you know, Caribou Coffee or whatever, something. It's a totally different experience. You're not going to a golf course here. You're going to, you know, a store. You go inside, your expectations kind of change a little bit, no differently than going to a golf store and getting in the bay and ripping a few balls. So the experience is a little bit shifted. My question on that is it become a little bit more challenging, being that you are more brick and mortar, to validate your quality, your level of quality in the lesson game?
I don't know. I think there's always a pretentious stigma in golf at times that everybody has seen. And it's like, Well, if you're an instructor at the best club in the world or the fanciest club in the world, it must mean that you're better. Well, better at what? And, and, you know, there's amazing pros everywhere, whether that's on a little range in West Texas to, you know, the highest end country clubs in, you know, New York metro area, and down to golf tech locations around the world. When you see the awards that some of our teachers have won and some of the folks that have come through there, you know, Rose Zhang is a perfect example. Started her journey of instruction in golf tech locations. I was talking to her agent the other day about it. She's about to go play overseas. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say where she's going to play, or, but she's going to be playing for her country. And so, you know, watching the journey of players is just different everywhere. And I think, you know, if there is a stigma, it's brought on by some of that pretentiousness that is one of the things that I hate about golf.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the benefits of golf can sometimes come at the cost of common sense, but you know, I was having a debate, and I'm going to go off course because we haven't really done that yet. I was having a debate with my head pro the other day. We were talking about wearing jeans or just basic on course, dress code. Uh-huh. And he's like, who cares? I'm like, honestly, I do. Cause when you dress up like that, there's a level of expectation that comes with it. And you show up in jeans and a backwards hat and looking the way you do. I mean, it's just a different mentality, but at the cost of when you get into that higher end, more expensive club, you get the nose that kind of curls up with the golf shirt. So you're finding that balance is a tough thing. And it's, I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was interesting because it is a totally different experience for someone who's typically getting lessons at a golf course. Your mentality does need to change a little bit. And it's not to say that that's the only way. It's just, I think a good percentage of golfers, that's what they're familiar with. So yeah, the willingness to change and adapt to something that's clearly doing well. You mentioned, is there a national average? You might have said it already, but I got stuck on the guy shooting 20 strokes better and got wrapped up in that. Is there an average based on overall improvement for you guys? Do you track that at all?
Yeah, no, it's seven shots. So we do a lot of kind of a, call it post-plan surveys. So we're understanding the score when they come in, but then also after. And when we ask, it's about seven shots on average that people are improving after going through the golf tech experience.
Wow.
So when you start thinking about that, you know, then the naysayers might say, oh, well, that's because they're coming in and starting off on high base. And, you know, I see it all the time. There's a kid named March Osland who I met at our TV shoot in Arizona. He's 13. He might've turned 14. Sorry, March. And this kid, he came in and he was shooting in the 80s, and he is winning every junior tournament at his age in the Phoenix metro area right now. And he's shooting, you know, 70, 71, 72. And the kid is just an absolute stud. And so you see some of the best players in a region that are going through the process, and they've got there because of that. So, man,
so
that's the average that we're seeing right now.
Okay. So let's kind of wrap it all up. And I'd love to know what is your projection for the company? What is the goal in the next 2 years?
Wow. Without giving away too many secrets, this is always the challenge.
I want all the secrets, Koski.
So in this past year, we've opened up in Dubai, Johannesburg, South Africa, in Manhattan. It was our first location in Manhattan, and it's crushing it right now. It's about two blocks from Grand Central Station. We've opened up in Shenzhen, China. And so you'll see, I think, a lot more global expansion, but you'll also see a lot more openings in the U.S. And so when you look at any specific region, you know, we're always kind of looking at saturation measurements, and we want to make sure our students get a great experience. They can go in, get the times that they want. And there's so much opportunity to build more locations there. So that would be one. Number two is continuing to merge SkyTrack and GolfTech experience. And when I say that we've barely scratched the surface, I mean, it's barely. And, you know, when I was talking to Joe and my current boss, Jeff, who's the CEO of SkyTrack and Chief Strategy Officer at GolfTech, they painted a vision of where we're headed with this company through kind of the recruitment and onboarding process. They got me really excited for how we're going to change the game of golf. And, you know, using technology to help people get better anytime or anywhere they're at is a daunting mission, but it's where we're headed with the company. It's exciting.
So the idea there is to be the most efficient, the best. You're in an interesting space with SkyTrack because the unit is so affordable. By comparison to these, I don't even know if you want to call them luxury models, these very expensive products. Can you say our goal is to be the best at our price point? Can you say our goal is to be the best in total? It's such an interesting spot to be in, I feel like.
Our goal is to deliver a better experience to more people. And, you know, when we kind of have this mantra on the SkyTrack side, better golf anytime, anywhere. And better golf, I always joke, I don't know what's above like a sextuple, which is six, but like a septuple, maybe seven, a septuple entendre of what better golf means. And it's helping people get better. It's a better experience. It's better courses. And through software development, we believe that we can get there. And by making it accessible, we believe that we can get there. And so, you know, most people think that a simulator in your home is going to cost $30,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. You can get a studio plus SkyTrack plus from us for under $6,000. You can put it up in a couple hours and be up and running and playing anywhere in the world. And that's unique. But really just focusing on the experience is where we think we can win. Our accuracy measures up to the TrackMans and Foresights of the world. We've done a ton of testing side by side via third parties. And so when the accuracy is there for a $3,000 unit and a $6,000 studio in your house, check that off the list. Then it's really about just making the experience better. And I think, you know, from our dev team to our designers to our teaching quality team and all the coaches we have, putting their heads together to make that happen is the part that excites me. And it's still funny because my game's still not great, let's be honest. But I work in a building with a bunch of golf instructors. Our CEO was a teacher. He went to the PGM school at Mississippi State. And he was a teacher before he ever started this business. Our COO was, I think he worked in one of the first four or five locations. He came from Ferris State in the PGM program. And so we've got kind of instructors across the board who are looking to help people get better. And then you've got this guy kind of coming in from consumer products and golf like me. And I'm like, all right, how do we make it exciting at the same time? And so we've assembled just a cool team to make the experience better. So
I love it. Yeah. And you can tell you guys are taking the SkyTrack to very interesting places. Adding courses is a big deal. Adding different ranges is super fun for anyone you get over to hit in the sim. Any final thoughts for folks? You have been on before. We are somewhat familiar with your brand, if not very familiar at this point. Any final thoughts for them today? What the future holds?
I think it's just making sure that we all have an open mind about how we get better at the game of golf. And you know, for a lot of people, I think they're intimidated by fitting. The stats show it. 50% of golfers are too intimidated to go get fit for a golf club. And the numbers are similar for those seeking instruction. And, you know, we joked about making a TV commercial, Dan, and you'll love this, about like just walking up to a range and seeing two guys talking. And like there's a guy who's working on his swing and the guy telling him and giving him tips. And it just says, doctor, not paid to be a golf instructor. And then you walk in and the guy says, mechanic, not paid to be a golf instructor. And so we can all use the help. And so, you know, making sure that you reach out and you're not intimidated to go get that, because one of the first things that we see when someone goes in for their first lesson, which we call a swing analysis, is, you know, we put them on a camera and they can see their swing for the first time. And they see it with what, you know, we call our skeleton, but it's a stick figure that's called OptiMotion technology. And people see their faults for the first time, and it is the biggest eye-opening experience. And so I'd urge everybody, just go and give it a try if you haven't. If you've never seen your swing on camera, if you've never talked to an expert about your swing and or seen it on camera, is try it out. It will open your eyes. And it's funny because even one of the guys that we had in our TV commercial this year, they're all real golfers. He lives around here. His name's Shane. So what was the biggest aha moment for you? He's like, just seeing my swing for the first time. He's like, I didn't know my hips went like this. And you show him that, and all of a sudden he's got one thing to work on and he can get better immediately. So
that's the
biggest takeaway to me is, kind of joking, but just take that first step and see what's out there. And I've been guilty for it for years. Like I said, I had to go buy a new product or go get new product. But you just take that step, get a swing analysis and see what happens. See if it's right for you.
Nice. Well, that's a heck of a call to action. We'll obviously have a thread on this on the THP forums. If you guys have any questions, I know Koski sneaks in there from time to time.
Absolutely.
See what's happening. So, hey, if you are out there playing golf this weekend, don't listen to a doctor or a mechanic on the range trying to give you swing advice. Go get an evaluation over at Golf Tech. Super fun to see the evolution of your product, especially with our group on THP. So if you are curious about that, there's quite a few of the guys who are using those and probably have a lot to say about them with this new course feature that's been released. And yeah, have fun this weekend if you are playing, and we'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.